Wow. Who remembers anything that they've been studying in prophecy, in the life groups, or on Sunday morning, a couple of weeks back, or whatever? Anyone remember anything that I've shared? Anyone? Oh, you must remember something. Just shout it out. Shout it out. I'll pick on Ash if you... Queen Ash. I think you were away anyway, but... the three things, edification, that's where we would get the word edifice, to build up, exhortation, which is to exhort, to encourage people in the purpose of God for their life, and comfort. Comfort is not just, oh, they're there. Comfort is to strengthen, amen? And that's what, in general terms, all prophetic ministry should be. Obviously, there are times when God deals with certain things in our life and so on. But overall, that is the God's purpose for prophecy. And so I want to just share, and this will be, I think, my last message on prophetic, developing in prophecy. Amen. Are you ready? Let me just give you a scripture. I'm going to do this first. Blessings. Looking forward to the wedding. And just to say, after the service, we're going to do a wedding rehearsal here. And so please have your fellowship in the fellowship hall, unless, of course, you want to get married and then stick around. And no, I'm joking. What does 1 Corinthians 14:31 begin with? For you can all prophesy. Some people are scared of that. And it doesn't say you're all prophets. And someone asked me about this. A prophet is an office given by Jesus. In Ephesians, it says he ascended and gave gifts to men, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, the weird ones, some to be teachers, and some to be pastors. Whoa. And that is an office. When I first got saved, I thought it was like a sort of league table. You start off being a pastor, and then if you're really good, you become a teacher, then you become an evangelist, and then eventually you become the boss. No, it is a lot of prophets. They couldn't pastor, an ant, let alone a church, but they are really good at hearing God and speaking life over people. And so I just want to just clarify that there's a difference between prophesying and being a prophet. Do you get that? Is that okay? But it does encourage us all to prophesy. Now that is exciting, isn't it? And you would have thought, and some people go, well, when I'm really, really holy, and I've stopped getting angry at parking wardens. You don't have the problem here in London. The biggest test of your sanctification is parking wardens and traffic jams. Here in Newbury, they're nice. They let you. I saw someone getting let off the other day, and I thought, wow, they wouldn't do that in London. That's for sure. You get one wheel out of place in London, the tickets go on. And some people are even really naughty. They take the ticket off your car and put it on their car. So next parking warden comes along and gives you another ticket. But anyway, that's I shouldn't tell you things like that, should I, really? So, one by one. One of the reasons often we try and encourage people to come to the person leading the meeting, so that the folk on the live stream, welcome to all those on the live stream, can hear. So one by one, that all may learn, amen, because prophetic words encourage us, and all, what does it say? May be encouraged. Normally prophetic words encourage people, and what does encourage encourage, give you courage. Hallelujah. And what it does when words come, like that word that came to us from so many different directions, including two other leaders in Newbury, that this is your, you've come to Newbury for harvest, that keeps you going. Amen? So when we were going, meeting in the car park in the rain, and there'd be 20 people there getting wet and looking disheveled, that encouraged me. Let me tell you, write down the words that you had received over the years. Write them down. Recall them. Amen? Because prophetic words are not fait accompli. They are giving you God's heart. And if you get hold of them, and that's why we mustn't be passive with prophetic words. Timothy was told that through the prophetic words he had received, he waged good warfare. In other words, he was getting a lot of opposition. He was getting a lot of issues happening because he was still a young man. But as he got hold of the words he'd received, he could go ahead, he could pray them, he could speak them. And if you want to know some words for this church, talk to Louise. She can give you more words than I could remember. But, you know, and we speak those words. Often in the prayer meeting on Wednesday night, we are speaking and praying words that God has given us as a body, that have been tested, that have been worked through. And I just want to encourage you. God has his word, which is the priority. And if you're not in your Bible, please don't start prophesying until you get grounded in his word. Amen? But on the other hand, get hold of and write down those words. Daniel read the prophetic word that Jeremiah had about the 70 years coming to an end. And he didn't go, oh, I hope something happens. He fasted and prayed that God's people would be restored back to the promised land. Amen? So let's go back. Here we go. What is the basis of prophecy? Pursue love. As I shared the other week, if I have not love and I prophesy all the mysteries, all the things about the TB expector that, you know, but I don't do it in love, what does the Bible say? I am nothing. Nothing in God's sight. A clanging bell, that's whatever. And it says you can even be burnt at the stake, give all your money to the poor. But if you're not doing it from a heart of love. So I'm pursuing love. And earnestly, hallelujah. Can I just throw this out at you? Are you obeying that scripture? Are you like, well, you know, everyone else gets a word, but so I don't need to? No. What does it say? Pursue love. And earnestly. Diligently desire spiritual gifts. And this is the Corinthian church. This is the naughty church on the naughty step of the New Testament. And Paul doesn't say, when we sorted out your mess, we'll teach you about spiritual gifts. He says to this church earnestly. Wow, isn't that amazing, Darren? Desire spiritual gifts, but he highlights one gift above the others. Especially that you may prophesy. And that's why correct use of prophecy in a life group, in a local church, is really, really encouraging. It says that all may learn and be encouraged. I know one place where in their circle of churches, a prophet came and read out all your sins. And before that meeting, if you dare even go to it, everyone spends a whole week, you know, shaking and trying to get rid of all their sins. I want to tell you that may happen from time to time, but overall, it's that you may be edified, exhorted, and built up, and comforted. Amen? And so it's learning that that is to encourage, and that this is that verse. You've all heard it. I preached it already. He who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men to strengthen them. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies, what does it do? Edifies the church. There we are. So we're already seeing in the one scripture, Paul talks about encouragement. Here he talks about edification, as well as, of course, exhortation and comfort to men. And so it's a great gift. And I can honestly tell you of times when God has spoken prophetic words over my life, and they have kept me through years and years sometimes of wondering what was going on in my life. You know, I remember just thinking about the baptism service last week. When I got baptized, the pastor of the church had a word for me. He said, I see you on a hillside, and there's just been battle after battle after battle. I see there's the carnage of war, but I see you standing on that hill, clothed in the armor of God. And God is saying to you, well, I don't know if it was encouraged, there are many battles, oh Lord. But God says, you are going to stand the test of time. And I've had many times where I've wondered, are we ever going to get through? But I've just held on to that word, held on to that word. And you know, those words that come into your life through not just, you know, wacky stuff that happens, they keep you going. Amen. And I just want to tell you, I remember one time, you know, when I was at college, teacher training college, a nice Methodist college, and I was getting so much persecution because we ran the Christian Union, and someone put posters around the college entitled Yasser Whitehead, and he's coming to destroy your drugs and things and all this stuff. And I thought, Lord, I can't take much of all this. I'm getting such a hard time. And God said, oh no, this is nothing. I'm just testing, just getting you ready for what's to come. And I thought, oh my word. But you know, God gives you grace. Sometimes he gives you a prophetic word because you need that word. Because you're going to go through something. And as you hang on to that word will strengthen you and exhort you and comfort you through what you're going through. Sorry about that. Sorry, some people say, I don't want a word. Okay, are you all right? Are you there? So you can all prophesy. We prophesy partially. We need to understand this. Thank God, you know, in the New Testament, you don't get stoned if you give a wrong word. Hallelujah, there's grace. Paul says this, we know in part, no one has the full counsel of Scripture. In fact, I would even argue, no one stream of churches has everything. Did you know that? You know, I've been learning a lot from other parts of the body of Christ. I've learned a lot about the communion in recent days. I've been learning a lot about this hearing God, what is it, what's it called? about learning to be still in God's presence. And a lot of that is coming from guys in historical churches. But God is teaching even this rabid sort of ranting Pentecostal that it is biblical to be still sometimes. Amen. And know that he is God. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? We don't have to rant and rave all the way into eternity. We can learn how to still our hearts and hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Amen. And so we know in part, but we prophesy in part. All prophetic words should be weighed up. We don't know everything. One of the problems sometimes with prophecy is the person giving the prophecy puts their own interpretation on that word, but the actual word may mean something very different to the person receiving it. And so we come together with others. Often those prophetic words begin to build up a picture in your life. So I had people prophesying the nations over me, and at first I just rejected it outright. I thought, I'm a local boy from Iwickham in Buckinghamshire, and I just want to reach my community. I'm not interested in going to nations. But then over time, different people who had no connection brought different elements of what God was calling me to, in both pastoring in a multinational church. Hallelujah. We'll go around again one day soon and find how many nations we have among us, but also to go to the nations. And it was so clear that was God's purpose. I could see the hand of God in all of those different people who did not know each other. Amen? So they knew in part, and they prophesied a part of what God was doing, but overall the whole counsel of God came over a long period of time. And that's why I would never go out on a prophetic word from one person that didn't witness already with what was going on in my heart. I know some people, they get one word and they give up their job and move to China. No, that may not be the right thing to do. There's a timing. There's what exactly is God saying about that? And you need to bring those aspects together. And generally speaking, I find in the mouths of two or three witnesses, let the matter be established. And so, you know, in coming to Newbury, I was so encouraged by the words we received about new berry, new fruit. And there was a prophetic lady, Sharon Stone, and she stayed up till 3 in the morning. She said, I'll ring you tomorrow. And I hadn't got a call by 10 o'clock. And I was like, why hadn't she rang? Gee, nobody cares about us. Da, 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 da. Anyway, eventually she rings at about 12 o'clock saying, I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning praying for you. And this is what I believe God is saying. It's time to move. Hallelujah. And so that word, along with the other words, and then when you come into Newbury and 2, possibly 3 other church leaders are prophesying over you, harvest gives you, what does that do? It means it exhorts me to keep going, keep going, keep going. Amen. It encourages you. It comforts you. I believe biblical prophecy, if we can get it right, and we come to that towards the end, can be such an encouragement. Make sure you don't put your timing on it. I know someone that was called to Brazil, and for 10 years they prayed almost every day for Brazil, and no door opened, nothing happened. It was like nothing was opening in Brazil. One day, one of the largest ministries invited him, and there was a mini revival. But for 10 years, he prayed over that nation. Amen. So prophecy doesn't mean the time is now. You talk to the Old Testament prophets, they're still waiting for some of those prophecies to come to pass. You need to ask the Holy Spirit, give me the timing of God. Give me the mind of Christ. And I think part of where it says we have the mind of Christ, doesn't say you, we, often together. You ever been in a life group and we pray for someone and we all start prophesying and sharing scripture, and all together it just makes up a clear blessing for that person. It's corporately we bring the mind of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. And can I just say, don't go around going up to people, give me a prophetic word. Have your own relationship with Jesus. Amen. Amen. There we are. That was in stereo. Listen, in the new covenant, the old covenant, you had the prophet, priest, and king. The new covenant, Jeremiah prophesied, and they shall all know me from the greatest to the least. Jesus said this, my sheep, any sheep here today? We're all sheep. Will hear my voice. Learn to recognize that still small voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. One time they asked one of these prophets that, you know, if you listen to them, you'd think that, you know, 20 angels visited them every time of day. And they said, what's the number one way God speaks to you? And they said, 98% the still small voice. We've all had that experience, haven't we, where you're reading the scriptures and a verse jumps out the scriptures. Amen? That's God. What you say? What do you mean? It's like the scripture goes, boom. And you know that is God's rhema word. The Bible is the Logos. It's the word. That's what Jesus is, the Logos. The rhema is the proceeding word. Man shall not live by bread alone. So you want to live? But by every word, rhema, that proceeds from the mouth of God. I believe God is speaking to us every day. Amen? And there's that, as I give time to Jesus, a scripture will bounce up. How many people woken up in the morning and you wake up and you find yourself singing a worship song? Come on, anyone? Yeah. That is often in that song, the word that God is trying to get to you. It's like God is knocking on the door and he's giving you that song. And as you listen to that song and God bless your neighbors, but sing that song, ask God, what are you saying to me today? Amen. And so we need to learn. Sometimes God will even use a secular song. I woke up one morning and I had this song. I've been going through a lot of confusion in my life. And I got this song and it went, I can see clearly now, the rain has gone. And God says to me, I'm going to clarify all of the areas that you've been asking me about. Amen? God speaks. As I shared the other week, one preacher was planning, making these plans, and God spoke to him, be bold, be strong, take courage. And he said, Lord, just confirm it. And he was driving down the motorway, and a lorry overtook him, which is kind of rare. Anyway, and on the back of the lorry, it said, take courage. He wasn't talking of what exactly, but he, thank you, Lord. And he went forward in God. Amen? So God brings, that week when I did Psalm 23, do you remember I read that reflection? About five times that week, you click on the TV, someone's reading Psalm 23. Someone, you know, I've got this thing that does this predictive flow on the streaming, and it, based on the worship music you listen to, it kept bringing up Psalm 23. So many different ways, and I knew God was speaking to me. It's Psalm 23. So be sensitive. Prophetic words normally confirm what God is already doing in your heart. Amen? The Bible says it's he who works in you to what? Will and to do his good pleasure. Sometimes they come left field. And I'm like, what? You know, what do you mean by that? And I pray, I put it on the back burner. And often, if it's God, he will confirm it through other people in other ways. Amen? Is this all right? Some of you look really scared, like I'm going to read out all your sins. It's okay, I'll do it later, not now, okay? You cannot substitute a relationship with Jesus. You walk with Jesus. Amen? And part of the reason people get disillusioned is that they get a word and they don't weigh it properly. And really, if you're walking with Jesus, you'll know when it's sound, when it's his voice, when it carries his presence. Amen? Having gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. Some people are more developed in prophecy. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy in what? Proportion to what? Our faith. So, I had someone, you know, and they started prophesying the date at the end of the world, and they'd never given a prophecy before. That is just daft. Grow in prophecy. Amen? And I also know someone, and the first word they gave, and they began almost every word with this when they started as a young girl, God loves you with an everlasting love. And then she would get a bit more and a bit more and a bit more. And now she's a seasoned national prophet. You do it in proportion to your faith. Amen? You get an impression from the Holy Spirit. How many people have been in a meeting, say a prayer meeting or a life group meeting, and you've had this scripture on your heart, and then someone else gets up in the meeting and prays or reads exactly the same scripture? How many people have had that? We've all had that, haven't we? Well, that's the Holy Spirit encouraging you, saying, be first next time. Amen? Stop being so British. Okay? Oh, is it? No. Oh, maybe do. Oh, ha, ha. Oh, someone else has just read the word. Learn to yield. And, you know, when I first gave my first prophecy, I was shaking. I was so scared. It was like, oh, is it God? Is it not God? And as I stepped out, the anointing of God came. Amen? And now, you know, you just learn to get in the flow. Amen? You learn to get in the flow. And can I just, I'll just illustrate something. Often, God will just give you the first part of the word. And then God loves you with an everlasting love. And therefore, my hand is upon you. So you do the first bit. And what happens? The next bit comes up. And so you do the next bit, and therefore he's calling you to reach out. And then you go, and he's calling you to be a father to the fatherless. He's calling you to be a friend of the orphans. I don't know if he might be doing that, actually. So what happens is, excuse me, Liz, if I'm using up the church handkerchiefs, and just don't cry as much when you get ministry, okay? And what happens is you start, he gives you something to start, and You know, Jesus said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. The flow begins. And you start with one thing, and then God gives you another thing, and another thing, and another thing. But you have to make that step into the unknown. Whoa! Amen? Please don't start with the end of the world. Please don't start with some doom and gloom prophesy the book you're just reading about, you know, whatever, Saddam Hussein. Well, he's gone now anyway. Start with, I encourage you generally, start with a simple scripture. Wonderful. So in proportion to your faith. So you grow on it. Someone, you know, and also learn when to stop. Some people go on and then they give the interpretation, and it's not your place to give the interpretation. Let the person weigh it up and work it out. Amen? Because sometimes you can get the wrong interpretation. And so I know people, the first part of the word was really amazing, but the person went beyond the moving into the next thing to them moving in the flesh. So someone prophesied over a friend of mine, his son was going to come back to faith. And his son did come back to faith, but he also went on to give a date that was completely wrong. By such a date. Well, it took another year. So learn when the tap goes off, turn the tap off. Amen. Hallelujah. Is this helping someone? Are you? Do you think you're going to step out at some point in life group? I know some life groups like Darren. They're going to have 1 week when they. Am I allowed to tell them? I don't want you to have any missing your life group. They're just going to pray over different people in the group and prophesy and step out together. And you watch. There will be a theme over different people that really stands out. Amen? We develop prophetically. And can I just say, God may in the 1600s have spoken in King James English, but thou dost not needest to speak ineth the way of the King James today. He is in the 21st century. Amen? You can just give a normal word in normal 21st century language. Amen? Is this all right? So did I offend someone? You know, you don't have to stand up and say, I am God F. I know F. You F. Thus F. The spirit of the prophets is subject to the control of the prophets. We are not into, some people said, I couldn't help myself. I had to shout out in the middle of, you know, the worship or in the middle of the sermon or whatever. I have to do it now. No, you can control what God has given you. You can come to the front, ask the person leading the meeting, whatever. And give a word without, you don't have to move your lips, although if you do, you know, you have to move your lips, sorry. You don't have to shake your head, it doesn't make it more, powerful if you're waving your arms and, you know, I've seen it all. Now, sometimes you may come under such a strong sense of God's presence that you do shake a bit. I've had one or two of those. But let me tell you, 99.9% of the time I prophesy or others prophesy, they're just talking out of the overflow of this, what God's put in their heart. They don't need to join the amateur dramatic society. Amen? Oh, you're under control. Voodoo, it's not a voodoo trance where they go, you know, that's a demonic thing. You're under control. There'd be a right time to prophesy. It's not, you don't go out of control. You don't need to do something really odd to get noticed. Amen? Okay. Or you don't impose prophetic words on people, on churches, or even on nations. I used to get so disillusioned with people who had left our country, and every time they came back, all they could say was, England's under judgment. Well, if you really believe that, why don't you come and live here and start praying and start doing something to change this nation back to God? Why are you living in the Bahamas on the beach? Sorry. Listen, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is being said. Don't just take, the Bible says in Thessalonians, test all things. Amen. Hold fast to that which is good. Amen. Listen, if you just gullibly accept everything on the internet, one, you can get totally confused, because one will say there's a harvest coming, another one will say there's going to be, you know, all terrible, da 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 da, and you just have, there's just a conglomerate of chaos out there at the moment, quite frankly. Learn to weigh what God is saying to you. Amen? Learn, if you just receive everything that is said, you're like a computer with no firewall. And the moment you start receiving negative things that are not from God, it begins to impact you. So I've had fear come my way, because I was told if I go on a mission, certain mission, I will come back in a coffin. And that began to impact me, and I had to get people around me to pray and break that power, because that was not a word from God. Frankly, it was from the other guy. I've had people come to me and say, ever since this word was spoken over me, I've been feeling depressed. And then I find out what was said, and it was clearly not from God. I said, we need to break the power of that word, because you've allowed a virus into your hard drive that God wants to take out. Amen? And I can only tell you of the people that I have had to counsel who've had false words. But you know, the enemy only counterfeits the real. So some Christians' reaction is give up on the whole thing. My reaction is contend for the real thing. Amen? Hallelujah. And I remember there have been times I have been in awe of God. In total awe. I remember when I'd spoken about leaving the church I was working at in Notting Hill Gate, and someone said about, you know, why do you want to demote yourself? And the prophetic word from this well-known prophet was, some will say it's demotion, but I say it's my promotion. And I was still in a time where it's a big move, Lord, it's a big move. And that weekend, the senior leader was away, and I was looking after Suzette Hatting. Anyone met Suzette Hatting? She's a real prayer warrior. I was Reinhard Bonnke's prayer warrior for many, many years. And right at the end of the meeting, in her South African accent, she said, Phil, every time I look at you, I see the word change. What on earth is going on? And then I told her, and then she said, and by the way, God wants you to know, don't worry about the finances. He's already sorted all that out, because I knew there'd be a change on that. And it was like a clear confirmation. And I was in awe. And I just thank God for that prophetic word. I remember going to Dudley, and that week in the leaders' meeting, we'd been talking about a building with a glass door where everyone could see what was going on and everything. And word for word, this prophet, yeah, I've still got the thing, said, it's going to be something people can look in and see what you're about. And I was like, this guy, it's like he was in the meeting. And God was saying, I'm with you. Amen? And so for all the issues prophecy can create, if we weigh it and let God speak to us through different people at different times, it will bring clarification to things God is doing in your life. Amen? So by the words of mouth of two or three witnesses, let each word be established. If it's a really important decision in your life, God will normally confirm it in other ways. Amen? When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into what? All truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, the Holy Spirit hears what the Father says, hears what Jesus said. Whatever he hears, he will speak, he will declare to you the things that are to come. Hallelujah. How many people, before something happened, you just knew already you were going to go through that season? How many people can, yeah. It could be a hard season. I remember one time God spoke to me. There's going to be some issues. But don't worry. Just hold firm. It's like flying across the Atlantic. You know, when you get the turbulence and the wing is flapping. Just stay in your seat. Keep your seatbelt on. You're going to get there. Amen? Oh, okay. Things to watch. Be careful. Don't put what God is doing in you on someone else. So I had a season where for a year and a half, God said, no TV. I was so busy. Some of you look, I'm not telling you this, okay? God was doing something in my life at that time. I watched videos of movies, but I didn't watch any TV. And there was a danger I could put what God was doing in me, so God is calling me to fast 10 days. Oh, that means everyone's got to fast 10 days. No, it doesn't. Let God do what God's doing in you, but don't put it on everyone else. Hello? Is that right? Is that okay? So allow God take, if God is pruning you, God is doing, you know, sometimes God might be pruning you, but bringing others into a whole season of fruitfulness. So don't put your season on them. They're enjoying being fruitful. You might be like, what else is he going to clop off? Well, just let him prune you, and then you're going to bear even more fruit. Amen? The latest revelation you received. I remember one church, someone had been reading some end time books, and they were getting more and more fearful and more worked up, and they stood up in the church and said, fear, fear, fear is coming, my children, fear and more fear. Even I am afraid, says the Lord. And the dear pastor had to say, no, I don't think God has fear. Okay, so if you've been, you know, if you got excited about a new revelation, that doesn't mean you need to prophesy that over everyone, okay? So learn what God is doing in you is not necessarily what God is doing in others. Amen? Your own desire for someone. We had this issue in our previous church where you'd have a couple married and they didn't have a baby, or they had one baby, and people kept prophesying, you're going to have a baby, or you're going to have, you know, more babies. And in the end, we had a lot of people coming who were really broken. And what we really, when it boiled down to it, they had a desire for someone, but it wasn't what God was saying to them. So you may have a nice desire for someone. So, you know, there's one lovely young lady, and people kept saying, oh, your husband's coming, da-da-da-da. And it didn't happen, and she was devastated, and we had to really pray her through. And what it was, people desired that to happen, but it wasn't actually what God is saying. So don't put God's name to your desire. Pray for them, bless them, want the best for them, but don't put God's name, thus saith the Lord, to it. Amen? Is that all right? I might be Negative feelings towards a person, a church, or place. A number of prophetic guys over the pond in the States have a kind of real negative attitude to California. And one of my friends was prophesying, was pastoring in California, and these guys kept prophesying a flood is coming, an earthquake's coming, a tsunami's coming in the next 6 months. And he's thinking, do I take my church and move the whole church out of the state? What do I do, Lord? And God just really spoke to him and showed him they're prophesying out of their own negative attitude. There's no tsunami coming. Be careful. If you have something against anyone, do not prophesy over them. Amen? Do not start putting your negativity over them. In fact, ask the Holy Spirit, God, show me your heart for that person. And God will do fun things in the prophetic. I hope this doesn't upset anyone, but we had, when we first went to the church in Chiswick, there was a guy, he was an elder, lovely guy, but he didn't believe women could have a ministry. They made the coffee and cooked meals. And anyway, we went on this leader's retreat, and the anointing came on this guy. And he called Caroline out. And he started prophesying her into ministry. About things he was already in ministry, prophesying over him, her. And everyone was laughing. And at the end he said, what did I just say? God will often do things that are really, really different to people's theology when the Holy Spirit starts moving. William had one prophetic in the healing move who went off the rails a bit towards the end. William Branham didn't believe in women in ministry. A woman stands before him and he prophesies the call of God to preach. Hallelujah. When he's in the Spirit, he was in the Spirit. When he wasn't in the Spirit, he really wasn't in the Spirit. So don't put your negative feelings on others. Don't impose a word. If you don't receive my word, doom and gloom will happen to you. No, that's not the Bible way. Let the prophets speak and let the others weigh. Amen? Watch your state of mind. If you're in a bad mood, it's not time to, you know, prophesy some rant and rave over a whole bunch of people. If you're in a bad mood, ask God, deal with this. I only want to speak what's from your heart. Amen? If you're frustrated with someone, can I suggest hold back until you caught God's heart? Amen? Amen? Are you there? How do words come? Often they come as spontaneous thoughts. We touched on that. A scripture comes to your mind. You're reading the Bible. A scripture bounces off the page. Do you know what often happens when we pray for someone? As soon as I close my eyes and start praying, often I will immediately get an impression or a scripture. Anyone experience that? So you just start praying. We're going to pray for brother, I've got a sore toe. And we start praying and immediately you start seeing something, a word comes. And can I encourage you, step out on that word. It might not be from God. You'll find someone else will give it if you don't. Hello? Learn to do this kind of stuff in life group, in prayer trip, you know, prayer groups, in the prayer meeting. And when you pray, often you just, it's like an impression. And you'll find other people in the group will often say something very similar. Amen? It's not a booming Carlton Heston Ten Commandments. Come on, you know, these are my Ten Commandments. It's the still small voice. It's an impression you get. And like with the tissue box, step out. with one. And often God will give you another thing and another thing and another thing. Amen? So get in the flow. We together have the mind of Christ. God confirms it. Often he shows you things two or three times because he wants you to step out. Spontaneous pictures. Daniel 4:10. They were visions in my head while I laid on my bed. I was looking and behold. When I pray, I set my heart on God. Sometimes when I pray for someone, God just gives me impression of where, if they're downcast or whether they're, you know, in great joy, and I just ask God, Lord, show me how I can cooperate with what you want to do in my brother or sister's life. Amen. In the prayer meeting the other week, I've been a bit busy recently, but there were, or was it our life group? I can't remember. But I just saw the river of life, and I just saw, this is a word I believe for us as a church, and I saw us dangling up to our ankles or up to our knees, and I saw the Lord in the middle of that river saying, come, come, come into the water. And someone's thinking, well, I might drown. You don't drown in the river of life. And he's saying, come in deeper, come in deeper. I want to sharpen the prophetic in your life. I want you to learn to flow with the Holy Spirit. I want you to have words, not just for believers, but for unbelievers. Amen? Where God will use you in the marketplace. And I just saw the Lord saying, come, come, come into the middle of the river, and the current will take you downstream. And let God fill your imagination. Sometimes I just see someone and I'll get a scripture on top, and I know that that's God saying, that's what I'm doing in their life at this time. Amen? God will often give you a picture of a scripture. So you're praying for someone, you're in a group, they might be in front of you, and suddenly you sense something, you see something, step out on it. Amen? Hallelujah. You have to grow in the spiritual gifts. You prophesy in proportion to your faith. God is speaking to all of us. Amen? Learn, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Amen? And if you don't know how, join Darren's life group. They're going to do it. He shouldn't have told me that now. An impression, an inner knowing. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that the things of God are spiritually discerned. You just get an impression about something, and it's God just impressing you, not a big, you know, I just sense there's this person, there's something that's gone wrong and we need to get alongside them. Whatever it is, learn to be sensitive to the impressions of the Holy Spirit. I'll bring this into land. It must be in line with Scripture. Anything not in line with Scripture, forget it. If people come and say, you're going to marry me, just send them somewhere else. And the other thing is learn to interpret right. Write down what is said, or put it on your iPad, dictaphone, or whatever it is. Pray for the right interpretation. Pray for the right timing, if it's from... It has a timing. Everything has a timing and seasons. God, when all those words about going to the nations came to me, God was not saying, quit your job and go to the nations now. There was a time and a place when God would do that. Application. Get the application right. Learn. Don't just step off on what you think you should do. Pray about what God is telling you to do. And sometimes it's wise to get the counsel of mature friends. Amen? Oh, I think I've got to quit my job. I need to just throw it all in and go full-time for the Lord. Well, we're all full-time, actually. But the application may be this time. It will happen, but it's not now. So learn to interpret, get the timing right, get the application right. Amen? Following up a word, yeah, that's what you've got to try and do. Get that right. He who believes will not act hastily. Amen? Don't be hasty. Some people jump off on a word, misinterpret it, get the timing wrong, get the application wrong, and then they come back to you and say, God told me to do this, and now it's not worked. I'm fed up with God. Well, it wasn't what God told you to do. So get your timing right. Amen? To end, you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Amen? In the life groups this week, they don't know this, all the leaders, I'm going to encourage them. Give time to prayer and praying and prophesying over one another. Pursue love. It's all about love. And earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Earnestly. Not like, well, if God wants to speak, I guess he knows who I am. No, earnestly desire. Especially, just say especially, that you may prophesy. Let's stand to our feet. And Amanda, let's do a song of thanksgiving. Just thank him right now. I just sense as you stand up, some of you, God is saying, I've already been speaking. I am speaking. I want you to attune your ear to what I'm saying. For my preceding word has been coming to you, but for some you've been missing it. You are my sheep, and you are hearing my voice. That still small voice that comes to bring edification, that comes to exhort you to follow hard after God's heart, that comes to comfort you when you're going through difficulty and trial. Listen, listen. Learn to still your hearts. Learn to let me speak in the morning times, in the night times. Don't be so crowded in your day. Let me minister my voice to you. Give me time. For I am doing new things in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I just thank you that you have spoken through your word, but you still speak today. Every day, that we can live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And all God's people said, amen. And I just encourage you, I just sensed as I was praying, words have been coming back to your mind. Write them down. Take them to the Lord. Weigh them up. Because God is speaking to his people. Amen.